to all those serving and showing kindness in our Air Force and Ground Forces, to anyone who carries even a tiny atom of restart in their heart. This is what we call the Special Guard. They are all alike. Vendetta is a special guard we are mentioning to express our gratitude. Otherwise, that veteran who has lost both legs and wants to take action, but we told him to wait, he is a restart follower. That 60-year-old lady writing on the walls, she is also a restart follower. The person attacking groups and others on social media who lie about restart, they are also the special guard. The smallest among you is me, who is at your service. Welcome to Restart 123, the 123rd episode of Restart, a program that carries the miracle of the past 7 centuries and a message that has been ready for 700 years to reach you and me. I am very grateful to everyone who participated in the Stone Challenge, from 16 to 17-year-old youths to 80-year-old ladies and gentlemen. Regardless, we are grateful. Do not listen to the lies of many. Coming from Iran, from the Islamic Republic, because fundamentally, in a dictatorship, lying plays the lead role, followed by rumors, then slander, then backbiting, then murder. These are essentially the characteristics of a dictatorship, meaning the first thing a dictator and his team must master is lying, and lying is its most vital element. After lying, rumors are the next tool. In this ranking, there is no honesty, humanity, understanding, or kindness. Their 1 to 10 basically starts with lying as number 1, then rumors, then slander, then backbiting, then prison, and so on in order. That is to say, these are the 10 primary traits of Mr. Dictators, or the governments of these 108,000 years. While the firsts of Sufism and mysticism have said, do not lie. This itself is an important point. It strikes against the existing thoughts, whatever we pass by, the word of the friend is sweeter. We have chosen a poem by Hafez to discuss next, which has about 7 verses. Half of it remains, so today we will give you a small explanation. The interpretation of the poems of Hafez, Rumi, Sa'di, Shams Tabrizi, and Khayyam. Their interpretation belongs to the Sufis, because only a Sufi can interpret the words of a Sufi, and a complete human can interpret the words of a complete human. Even Sufis have rarely been allowed throughout history to explain the words of complete humans. Rarely, meaning perhaps only every 100 or 150 years, a Sufi might have had such permission to interpret the words of the complete humans of past eras, and their number is very few. Fundamentally, Sufis say we do not even have the right to interpret the word of a complete human. This is a very deep point, because the intellectual and contemplative dimensions of a complete human, as we explained in these 123 programs, are very strange and possess scientific, meaning quantum, angles, and it is very dangerous. Every word that comes out of his mouth creates dimensions in the world. You will understand this better by listening to this program. It creates dimensions in the universe that change the state of the parallel universe. For example, when a complete human says hello, this hello coming from his mouth changes billions of dimensions present in one dimension and thousands of dimensions in the universe. They call this to turn upside down, meaning it comes from his mouth. Dye, this dye can be directed at an electron orbiting a nucleus billions of light years away, or it can be said to the person in front of him. And when these words come out of his mouth, the universe makes its change. The universe simply cannot not listen. Therefore, the word that comes from the mouth of a complete human, even an unintelligible word, is the most meaningful word in the universe. We explain the reason very simply and scientifically. How can a fresh poem arise when the heart is grieved? We spoke one point of this meaning, and let it be just this. This is the reason, because the heart is grieved. Very simple. The first hemistyche confirms this sentence so that you and I understand what it means. Look, everyone who reads this poem thinks they understand it. Believe me, it's like this. How can a fresh poem arise when the mind is grieved? We spoke one point of this meaning, and let it be just this. Then Hafez, to make you realize you don't understand Hosseini, he says, Ibiza, we spoke one point of this meaning and let it be just this. He talks about mind. Mind means the conscience, the inner self, love, thought. Mind means thought. The mind is different from imagination or fantasy. When he tells you the craft of imagination, it means there can be a writer who comes and fantasizes, which is very good. For instance, suppose in the future you have a child who sits and tells stories, playing with their imagination. To make this child a great writer, the parents have no right to tell them, hey, don't lie. This sentence is very dangerous, because if Jules Verne's parents had told him, don't lie, you liar, what are these fantasies, these exaggerations? That passion he had would have been destroyed and he would never have become Jules Verne. For your child to become one of the greatest writers in the world in terms of imagination, I mean, you must let them practice this weaving of fantasies at home, which itself has many scientific, psychological, and other discussions that we don't want to talk about right now. So this is not an illusion. He says, how can a fresh poem be inspired? Or, when would a fresh poem be inspired? When the mind is sorrowful. How can a fresh poem be inspired when the mind is sorrowful? Mind means thought. Look, from the moment you wake up, billions upon billions of thoughts are created in your mind and in the mind of your neighbor. And this thought and this imagination that arises in your mind exists. I've already told you the definitions of hell and heaven. Let's explain them later. Because until you understand this, you won't understand hell or heaven. When you are thinking, imagining, suspecting, having illusions, or making analogies, everything that comes out exists. Scientists have a joke where they say energy transforms from one state to another but is never destroyed. It exists in the universe. Let me give an example. Who produces this in the universe? This is a very important question. Pay close attention. Suppose you are the only one on Earth. To understand this verse, you must start here. Suppose it's just you on Earth, and you've said nothing, spoken no words, and had no thoughts. We've locked you in a cave. No donkey knows what the name of an apple tree is. I mean, where did the name apple tree come from? Who was the first to call this a donkey? Who gave the donkey its ignorance? Who realized this is an apple tree? Who named the apple tree? Who told it this is a road? Who said the name of this is moon? Who said the name of this is sun? You said it. I said it. I mean, the first human who entered Earth, the first thing he saw above his head, he saw something and said its name was moon. So, you gave the names to things. No tree has ever thought about a donkey, and no wolf has ever thought about a dog. All creatures might have a capacity for imagination, but their imagination is limited to the domain of their carnal self's physical needs. A wolf's ultimate thought is how to eat this sheep. A lion's ultimate visualization is that when it eats and is full, its imagination turns to its mate, its surroundings, and its territory, that this place is mine. But when it's hungry, its imagination is only toward the prey it is going to catch. I mean, no creature in the universe has chosen a name for another except me and you. You and I chose the names of the creatures. If you and I weren't on Earth, the moon would have no name. This is why humanity must be produced. Because humans have thought, and through thought they chose the names of creatures. The creatures came into being through this naming. This is the quantum effect that I explained in previous programs. I mean, when you see a neutron star that exploded 25 million years ago, you are seeing it now, but it exploded 25 million years ago. It doesn't even exist anymore. But you see it and you put a name on it. You say, this is the edge of the Milky Way. Right now, if we remove the moon from the map of the solar system, you would realize 7 minutes later. Note, speaker likely means sunlight/moonlight delay, because the light reaches your eyes 7 minutes later and you'd realize the moon doesn't exist. It's that simple. Now go even further back. Billions of years of distance not to mention another world that is moving alongside us. This is called thought. Mind means thought slash reflection. It says, when a thought is sorrowful, revelation cannot reach it. It cannot speak. It cannot be Rumi or Sa'adi. It's impossible. I mean the reason for the arrival of revelation. Now, when I say revelation, I don't mean Islamic revelation. Revelation means this, the ear, the eye. Revelation means everything that enters a prophet or a creature or a human or a restart follower who has been a restart follower overnight. Revelation means an extraterrestrial power. Extraterrestrial doesn't mean aliens, it means beyond the terrestrial, beyond the common thinking humans have. It is higher than those things. It is an entity that brings revelation to you. The entity brings revelation to the water, to freeze. The weather has turned cold. Water is water. But when you take it to Siberia, to the North Pole, there is an entity that says, my name is Intermolecular Forces. Mr. Molecule, freeze. Stick together and become like ice. You, who are water, have no right to remain water in sub-zero temperatures. You are obligated to become ice. They call this, for example, intermolecular force. It says, Mr. Hosseini has thrown an apple. Mr. Apple, you are obligated to go down. They ask, who gave this command? They say a force called repulsive acceleration or gravitational acceleration, as you call it. I am the apple, I want to go up. They say, you're damn wrong. I say, no, I'm a beautiful apple. It says, no, fine, be whatever you want. It says, when I say, no, I'm Hosseini's mother. It says, oh, no, fine, be Hosseini's mother. Sir, I am the mother of Jesus. It says, fine, I am Jesus himself and I want to jump off the mountain. Take me up. It says, impossible. Even if you are Jesus himself, you will die. Do not test it. Do not test gravity. If you want to test it, you must produce its opposing force. So this force is giving orders. This is an extraterrestrial entity. I gave an earthly example so you could understand the extraterrestrial one. It is an entity that commands you, go and say this. Oh Moses, let go of the staff. It becomes a dragon. The staff becomes a dragon. It absolutely does. Any staff in the hand of Moses becomes a dragon. It has nothing to do with the staff, nothing to do with the dragon, and nothing to do with Moses. Anyone who receives a command from the complete human of the era and lets go of anything, lets go of the laptop, will become a dragon. Why? Because there is a force in the universe whose command is performing this action, just as you gave commands. Right now, computer, you chose its name. Otherwise, computer has no inherent definition. If you invent something right now and put it in the street 50 billion years from now, no tree will ask, what is that? If you say it is, for instance, a kermipuluor, a made-up name, the tree will never say it. You chose these names. So nothing exists in the world unless you choose it. So why in quantum theory must humanity start from Earth? Because when a Sufi enters Earth, when that beautiful love is created in them, in their heart, they begin to discover creatures and name them. They say, this is this, and the vastness of the universe for you and me, whose souls will later go to another place. We are from above, and to the above we go. The Sufi is growing this universal vastness for us. I mean, he is literally doing a favor so that we can have a bigger, more beautiful, more gorgeous place. It's like you are in your mother's womb and your mother is working. This is what they call a Sufi. Your mother has gone to work. Your father has gone to work while you are in the womb. Your mother is working to make money to turn a one-bedroom house into a two-bedroom. You in the womb are such an idiot that you don't know the difference between a one-bedroom and a two-bedroom. When you are born and grow up, you realize what a mother, meaning the Sufi, went through to turn that one bedroom into a two bedroom so you could now have a room. You understand this now that you are born. I keep bringing the example down to earth, then taking you up so you understand what I'm saying. When you die and go there, the first thing that comes to your mind is what great people these Sufis were. If it weren't for them, we would have nothing. I mean, Mr. Sufi turned the two-bedroom of the afterlife from a one-bedroom into a two-bedroom. Attar came and turned it into a 100,000-bedroom. Well, Rumi made it 180,000-bedroom. Saadi made it 2 million. Hafiz made it 6 million. And so on, down to the Sufi who is currently around the complete human. He has prepared bedrooms there for you and me that you don't even understand yet. This became quantum, so you are in your mother's womb. You don't understand at all that she is working 8 hours at some company to make money to buy food, to buy a fridge for you to use later. Why? Because you are in another world, but you are from above and shall go above, meaning you are meant to come higher from your mother's womb, not higher toward your mom's nose, inside the womb, but higher, meaning you come out of one place into a higher place where you now have a fridge, you have a car. Now, why do some kids curse their dads for being poor? Because they say, why didn't you work? You had kids but didn't think of us. Maybe he did think of them, poor guy, but that was all he could do. This is a very important point. The same sentence has been uttered in religions, meaning when you die, it is revealed. It is written in the very Quran of the Muslims. It says the evil people in the next world will turn and say, why did you lead us astray? Why did you prepare nothing for us in this world? And they, meaning the dictators, the mullahs, the rabbis, and the priests, will say, you obeyed us. Did we ever say we were from God? He says, no. He loses the game. This is something you must know. This is what quantum means. It means the Sufis are creating the most beautiful things in the next world for the people of the world, yet we kill them here. And the rabbis are creating something that you will later protest. Therefore, your protest after death to a rabbi, a cleric, or a priest is exactly like the protest of a child who has come out of the mother's womb and says to the mom, why are we living in a one-bedroom place? Why didn't you go to work, think of your child, and make money so we could have a five-bedroom place where I'd have a room and a car? This protest you now make to your mom or dad that they didn't work or couldn't buy you a Benz, as the friends say, the same thing happens after death. You will say to Ayatollah so-and-so, who currently considers himself an Ayatollah in Iran and speaks, you misled me. I was your imitator. You emerge from the womb of someone and suddenly you have no car, no house, while a group emerges from the womb of the grave possessing everything because that beautiful one has provided everything for them while you must suffer. Why? Because by killing Attar, you didn't allow the next quantum world, which is the truth, to become wider and more open. All the beings of the universe on that side know that you didn't allow the 5 billion bedroom house to turn into a 350 billion bedroom house because you killed Attar 6 years too early and his intellectual quantum couldn't reach other worlds to see more and name them so that they could manifest and exist. Thus you gave the donkeyness to the donkey, you gave the nobility to the horse, you said the horse is noble. Now anyone you look at says the horse is noble. Your child is making a mistake, you donkey. You gave him this donkeyness, meaning you inculcated that a donkey is a creature that just carries loads, goes and watches soap operas, and comes back. It never thinks to change its regime so the people are satisfied. It never thinks to serve its neighbor. It doesn't matter if it goes hungry. It must stand against oppression. A donkey never stands against oppression. A donkey only kicks when its lust is high or its hay is plenty, not for an uprising. It can never rise up. So this word donkey has an inculcation that the mystics began to transmit and the poets are using it, imitating it. Meaning Rumi explained the donkey and the thing of the donkey. Now other poets who are not mystics or Sufis publish books without permission. They extract and define the words of these masters. Well, how can fresh poetry be inspired when the mind is sorrowful? When your mind is sorrowful, your thought is under question. You cannot speak, say anything, or express. You cannot become Rumi. Therefore, to become a Sufi, first the mind must not be sorrowful, then we change the thought and the thinking. Well, how do thought and thinking change? The example is simple. Look, every day from the moment you wake up until night, you have, say, 5,000 thoughts. You say to yourself, I'll go hit my mother. I'll go take my father's money. I'll go hit the neighbor. I'll go steal. I'll go put that guy in jail. This is a thought. Then, 5 minutes later, you say, no, I won't do that. Where did that thought go? It's very simple. Where did the thought go? The thought of going to work. Now you've decided you're sick and staying home, or going to see your boyfriend or girlfriend. Where did that previous thought go? It went to work. What is the next thought? I'll stay home. And you stayed home. But the thought went to work. Where did it go? This is what they call action and reaction. The universe. I wanted to tell you this secret. We are moving forward slowly, and it's relevant to this hemistic now, because we must understand. Hafez says in this line of poetry, O human, O restart follower, know this. Do not be sad, because how can fresh poetry be inspired when the mind is sorrowful? Meaning, in the world that exists, everything in the universe is a reaction to your action. This is a very great secret. It means your thought is bringing about this disaster. I explained in restart programs 10 to 15, and now is the time for it, Baxter and the cactus. I said that a scientist named Baxter connected a psychogalvanometer to a cactus and told a person, enter the room and in your mind think about going and burning the leaves of this cactus. When that individual entered the room and thought about taking the lighter out of his pocket to burn that leaf, the tree began to show a reaction. It was afraid. It understood he wanted to burn it, meaning the action of this human caused the reaction of that tree. But no other entity in that room was afraid. It's very interesting to know. Meaning, if this person thought about going and destroying the wall would start to tremble. We don't yet have a device to understand walls. We don't yet have a device to understand where the electron is, why it's there, who is there, and who isn't. And for this reason, we say it is everywhere. Our devices, our speed relative to the electron, are still lagging behind, and we don't understand. So, Baxter showed in this experiment that creatures are your reaction, meaning as you are walking down the street. Now we begin to explain in one line, you are walking down the street, and you are thinking, for example, of slapping a restart follower. There is a tree, a dog, a cow, ants, there are billions of creatures. These are all your reactions. No creature is an action in the world. All creatures are reactions. Action means thought. Reaction means the reflection of thought. It's not that when a lion goes and eats a deer, it's an action. No, that action is for you to watch the Survival of the Fittest documentary. There is no action in that. At the very moment it eats the deer, no tree is afraid. But all the creatures of the world are afraid of you and me because we placed a name upon them. And this name we placed has stayed on their heads from the beginning. A donkey can never say, I am a wise rabbit. In books, a donkey can never say, I am a rabbit. We forced donkeyness upon the donkey. We forced it, saying, your role in this screenplay, Mr. Donkey, and this entire screenplay we have written is donkeyness. And for this reason, a donkey can never sprout wings. And it never occurs to its mind to sit and say, well, I am no longer a donkey. To prove I'm not a donkey, I'm going to university. It goes to university, and again Saadi says, look, you only carried a load to the university, emptied your load, and came back. University is not about carrying a load or entering the gates. You must sit in the class at university. And for this reason, the Tonkun mind, the donkey thinks its child is going to university because it's a donkey. Many donkeys say to their cousin, where is the kid? She says, at university. He asks, which university? She says, Isfahan University, where I studied, for example. He says, oh, really? Is he at Isfahan University? She says, yes. He says, bravo to the child of this donkey. And this is called a donkey mother and father. While this child is only carrying a load. So the donkey that wants to prove to you and me that it isn't a donkey must invent. It must think. It must create a device to become a commander. It must create a device called a car and say, look, I am not a donkey. I am thinking. So why do all the creatures of the world prostrate to us? Because we think about what they should do and because we have thought. We create devices. We create airplanes. We create cars. We kill the microbes that attack us, and no other creature in the world has thought. Monkeys have been around for billions of years. Termites for billions of years. Well, millions of years, say 700 million years for termites. They understand the same things they understood from the beginning. No invention, no thought, no reflection, no proof. No ant has ever revolted, joined hands with other ants, stood up and said, well, let's produce weapons so that when humans pass by and want to destroy our home, we kill them. No ant has done this, but you and I have. This is what they call the mind, and we have explained the definition of mind in this context. When the complete human says hello, the word hello in the universe is deep, and after it, it produces billions upon billions of actions that cause a reaction to emerge from elsewhere. It produces an action such that when he tells the staff of Moses, let go of the staff, Moses. Moses himself flees, meaning space, time, air, creatures, all electrons, all molecules, all atoms understand that they must become like something. They call it to turn upside down. This means if the mind is sorrowful, you cannot find revelation from the complete human. This is why all the Sufis who wrote material before they entered Sufism and mysticism, like Faiz Kashani and Sheikh Baha'i, say everything we wrote was wrong. Other than the face of the beloved, it was wrong, it was wrong. Whatever we did in this task, it was wrong, it was wrong. It was all wrong. It was all a lie. It was all a trick. It was all without permission. I didn't have the word of to be, permission from the complete human for me to pray. And for that reason, prayer did not become submissive to me so that I could understand what it actually means. They say you must have permission for prayer from the complete human of the world. For example, whether you go to a church, a synagogue, or anywhere else, or even just when you pray or think, it is required because he grants that permission according to a specific measure. He says this person must say, for example, diglobala, made up words, 16 times a day. If he says it 17 times in the middle of Mars, something hits something else. Something hits another place, the Milky Way shakes a little, and then from the other side, a being from space comes and hits the middle of the ocean, a tsunami occurs, and 850,000 people die. The one who sent the salutations doesn't know he is the cause. He sent one extra salutation and doesn't know what's happening. But he understands this at the gas station. When he's pumping gas, if he pumps a little too much, it spills out. He understands that. He understands that you can't eat food through a nostril. He understands that well. You see, it's simple. He understands that, but he doesn't understand that the making up of prayer is not from the mouth. If you say salutations 55 billion times, it makes no difference compared to saying it once. If you say it correctly, once is enough to work. He doesn't understand this. Atoms understand that they shouldn't interfere when water is freezing. It's molecular. Molecules must stick together. Electrons know this. And the transformation of water to ice is performed simply. And whenever the weather gets warm, they are told again, you melt. The formula knows this completely. The next question arises, Mr. Hosseini, then what happens with that tree that said to Moses, I am your God? Bravo. The fire said, I am your God. It didn't say, I am from your God. Bravo. This too is a question. Mr. Hosseini, everything falls apart, everything changes. What action from whom caused this fire to say, I am your God, Moses prostrate to me, and Moses prostrates. The words prostration and idol are produced here. This will be presented in future programs, meaning program 124. Let's see what it even means. Every moment, even right now as I sit here, I am thinking of 500 places. None of these thoughts are carried out and they die. Therefore, the killer of thought on planet Earth is you who are listening to this program. You kill and you give life. You kill and you give life. Thousands of thoughts enter your head every single second. 1,000 of them. You kill 900 and you carry out 100. These ones you kill, where do they go? These ones you carry out, what do? Those you kill, where do they leave their mark? It is exactly like the word salutations, exactly like the word church, exactly like the word synagogue. Because the number of drops of words is like the number of drops in the seas. A certain measure of drops must evaporate from the seas and oceans, become a cloud, be carried by the wind, get a little cold, and then determine where the hail should fall, and how many drops should fall where. This is all scientific. If you bring one or two buckets of water from another world and pour it onto Earth, its water and weather will change. And for this reason, so that nothing changes, the Earth has a flow around it called the atmosphere. It's around it so that no water comes in from elsewhere. A meteorite hits the Earth. They call it an external being, a space being. They call this another being that has come from somewhere else. This has created an action and reaction on Earth that we cannot understand. There is no Moses to hear the claim of I am the God. Otherwise, this murmur is not absent from any tree. When you become restart follower, they give you something that allows you to become a Moses. When you become Moses, you can understand the matter through the eyes of Moses, which tree is talking and whether every tree is a tree or not. All trees are talking. And Moses hears this tree. Do you hear Hosseini's voice? You say, yes. You say, this mobile line is mine, Pera. But your mom doesn't hear it. It's the same thing. To hear the voice of this tree, you must have a telephone. For Moses to hear the voice of that tree that said, I am your God. Otherwise, Moses is the one who speaks with God. He has no right to prostrate. Moses, of whom they previously said, these religious gentlemen say, he knew what was going to happen. He must have a telephone, meaning the tree's line crossed onto Moses' line. It rang, the tree picked up the phone and said, hello, hello. He said, it is I, Moses. And the tree said, yes, I am your God, prostrate Moses. And Moses prostrated. Now, if a tree claimed divinity, it could be burned. But if a fire claimed divinity, how can you burn the fire? If a tree claims divinity and says, I am the God, it can be burned. But if a fire claimed divinity, how do we burn the fire? Is the station of fire higher, or the station of Abraham, or the station of Moses? This fire says, I am your God. Halaj says, I am the God. Thank you very much for listening to this program. I'll say one small sentence and say goodbye until the next program. If the number of words existing in any human burst out, or the number of cells in any human body burst out, they call it cancer. If the number of your cells decreases, they say the guy has leprosy. This exists in Sufism and mysticism as well. Keep this line in your memory so you know, especially the ladies who kept asking questions, so you know. When they were taking Halaj to the gallows, there was a woman in the crowd whose station in Sufism and mysticism was thousands of times greater than Halaj. Her station was 1,000 times that of Halaj. Pay attention. When they were taking Halaj to the gallows, a woman was there in that crowd as they were cutting his tongue and severing his hand, who held a station thousands of times higher than Halaj in Sufism and mysticism. Everyone knew, the Sufis knew too, that lady was Halaj's sister, and Halaj himself did not know that his sister's station was thousands of times his own. Halaj's fingerprint belongs to Halaj. Therefore, the god of Halaj differs so much from the god of Halaj's sister, which he himself didn't know. And at the moment of his death, the dismembering of Mr. Halaj, his sister said, "You revealed the secrets, now suffer the blow. Your vessel was small. If you were like your sister, you would have enlarged your vessel first in this Sufism and mysticism, and you wouldn't have been killed so soon, dear brother. Dear brother, farewell."